It's time for Rocketing Rhythms. This is Jack Brown in the music department of AFRTS, ready to spin some of the top 100 tunes of the week across the nation on Rocketing Rhythms today and to talk to a famous musical guest star. But first, let's start the program with a flaming star, as sung for us by Elvis Presley.
Every man has a flaming star, a flaming star over his shoulder. And when a man sees his flaming star, he knows his time. His time has come. Flaming star, don't shine, flaming star. Flaming star, keep behind me, flaming star. There's a lot of living I gotta do. Give me time to make a few dreams come true. Flaming star.
Flaming star.
When I ride, I feel that flaming star. That flaming star over my shoulder. And so I ride in front of that flaming star, never looking around, never looking around. Flaming star, don't shine me, flaming star. Flaming star, keep behind me, flaming star. There's a lot of living I gotta do. Give me time to make a few dreams come true. One fine day, I'll see that flaming star over my shoulder. And when I see that old flaming star, I'll know my time has come. Flaming star, don't shine on me, flaming star. Flaming star, keep behind me, flaming star. There's a lot of give me time to make a few dreams come true.
Flaming star.
Misty and too much in love.
beautiful. Misty by the Pete King Orchestra and Chorale. And the first one, of course, was Flaming Star by Elvis Presley, which is new to the charts. 89 last week, 76 this week. And Misty serves as an introduction to today's guest star. It was the Pete King Orchestra and Chorale, and our guest star is Pete King. Pete, welcome to the program.
Well, it's a pleasure.
I noticed in listening to Misty, which pleasure I've had before, incidentally, that there's not too much background for a man used to movie orchestras.
Well, in this particular case, I think the more background we had added to it, the more presence we would have taken away from the sound of the chorus. It's the harmonic progressions that are used, and not necessarily invented by me. They were really a part of the song, are rather involved, and we spread it out pretty well and used the basses down at their, really at the bottom of the range. And if we'd added too much orchestra, it just wouldn't come through.
Well, this is different from what I see then on the motion picture screens. Now, for instance, I see a great deal of special effects and things in movie scores.
I think this is probably brought about because of a technique that they've been using a great deal lately, and that is the business of having pictures shown and these titles of pictures superimposed over certain action that is taking place, so that when you do a main title, you can grasp at the mood of the actual pictures that are being shown and disregard, let's say, the titles themselves. I think it's a little more interesting, and it kind of sets up the mood of the picture before you actually get into it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the use of special effects, and I can see how that would apply in movie music. In a few minutes, I'd like to ask your opinion about the gimmicks used in many of the tunes that are showing up on the charts today. But speaking of the charts, at this point, let's return to them. We have number 7 and number 18. You Can Depend on Me by Brenda Lee and Just for Old Time's Sake by the McGuire Sisters. Here's Brenda.
If you ever need a friend, I'll be right by your side, oh, until the end. And you can depend on me.
Just for old time's sake, the McGuire sisters. And that's kind of a nostalgic thing there, isn't it? And then, of course, there was poor Brenda Lee with You Can Depend on Me. And these things on the charts, these people that sing these things continue to sound so unhappy. I can picture them crying all the way to the bank every week. Oh, it goes. These things, Pete, were done more or less straightforward, in a straightforward fashion, but a number of the things that we have heard on the charts in the past have been loaded with gimmicks. And what I'd like is your opinion as to whether the gimmick is really to add something to the music or maybe to make up for something the music lacks. What do you think of it?
Well, I'm probably not the right person to answer that question because I would have to go along with the idea that they are gimmicking up material that doesn't have it, basically. And I'm sorry to say that most of the stuff that you see on what you referred to before as the charts, I think is rather shallow material. Occasionally, good material does creep on, but it's the exception rather than the rule. And I think it's the sounds that are probably going over, the sounds and the beat and the wildness of it that is catching on much more so than the material involved.
Mm-hmm. However, as you point out, there are a number of very good selections among the top 100 each week, and that's what makes it possible for us to do a program like this, stay with what we think is pretty good music, and still stick with the charts. If I can return to movie scores for a moment, Now, maybe you being a musical director at 20th Century Fox and making an important part of your living scoring motion pictures and directing the music for them, maybe I shouldn't say this, but there are times when I'm watching a picture, and no doubt it has tremendous background music, maybe even later it wins an award, but at the time, I'm not aware of the music until it suddenly stops.
There's an old saw in the business that if a motion picture score is not noticed, it's a good score. I don't quite go along with that, but I think that probably there are many producers of motion pictures that still believe in that. Unless you can point to a specific example, it's hard to describe the effectiveness of motion picture music. About the only way you can understand the effectiveness of it is to play the picture without it, and then you would really miss it. Of course, we who work in motion pictures, we always see the picture with no music at all first, and the difference between seeing it under those circumstances and seeing it later when the picture has been underscored is just almost unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk to you still more about this. I'd have to return to the charts here briefly to come up with another two in a row that make the trademark of the Rockin' Rhythm Show. So I'll introduce these. We're going to have Love or Money by the Blackwells, but first, we're going to have Big, Big World. Now, those of you listening may remember that when Johnny Burnett was on a couple weeks ago, he mentioned this one. And now Johnny is overseas, and we hope within hearing of one of the 189 stations that carries Rockin' Rhythms every week. So I hope that along with you, Johnny will enjoy hearing his recording of Big, Big World.
Avenue. Walked up to the door. Hello, sir. How are you? No, I'm just looking for a friend living in apartment 10. You say she's gone. Please, how long has it been? City. It's a big, big world. How's a boy gonna find a little pretty girl in this big, big world? Going out, find myself a telephone. Pocket full of dimes. I know her last name is Jones. Joneses. Oh, I see. Page 19 to 23. Big, big world can be unkind. The phone just took my last dime. It's a big, big world. How's a boy gonna find a little pretty girl in this big, big, big world?
If it's laughs you want, I can be funny. If it's a big shiny car, I got a honey. Oh. If all you want is money or car, I don't want the kind of girl you are for me. Wild side of life for you, then live it.
if I'm way up on the hill. You want a mansion, a butler and a maid at your will. What parties and dancing, rubies, diamonds and pearls. I have that and some more.
Love or Money by the Blackwells, brand new to the charts. It's number 92. And the big world, Johnny Burnett. Johnny, you told us that was coming along. Well, maybe we can tell you while you're overseas on your trip. It's number 76 back home this week. So it's off to a good start, I think. And once again with our guest, Pete King. Pete, on a local program in the Los Angeles area with which I'm associated, we had the pleasure of guesting Jack Jones not long ago. And Jack is, we used an album in which he sings with your orchestra, and I understand that he's come along sort of under your wing somewhat. Do you and he have anything new coming out?
Yes, we have several. We have a new single that just came out recently called Big Time, and we also have an album by Jack, which is currently on the market and doing rather well, called Shall We Dance? We put Billy May with him because we thought that might be a good combination. It seemed to work out that way.
I think, by the way, that we should mention, not to take anything away from Jack, who is quite a good artist in his own right, that his father is Alan Jones.
Of Donkey Serenade fame.
Right.
And incidentally, we haven't released it yet, but we have a recording that young Jack made of the Donkey Serenade, which is, I must say, is a little different from the way his father did it, and very interesting.
Well, I'd like to hear the comparison between the two, and maybe one day we'll be able to play them both back-to-back here on Rockin' Rhythms. If I may ask another question about your own career, you spent a great deal of your time on sound stages, scoring pictures and directing those motion picture orchestras, and perhaps an equal portion in the recording studios, making records and albums. Which would you say is the tougher job?
Well, I wouldn't want to say one is more difficult than the other. The motion picture end of it is probably a little more technical, requires a more specialized type of experience and approach. When you make a recording, you have only the one element going for you, and that is the element of sound. When you have a picture going, you have both elements, the element of sound and the element of sight. So that the business of making a recording, you have to create your own picture or your own story, where you have something else which can command your attention in a picture. And it's a little more difficult to concentrate on the two elements than it is on the one. So your challenge is pretty great in records in order to try to create the whole impression, where you have more help going for you in the picture business.
So here's a fellow at our the last selection of the day on Rockin' Rhythms today that has done a great deal working with the sound. He's been hitting pretty regularly for the last couple of years. It's Neil Sedaka with a brand new one of the charts this week at number 94. I think a new hit for him. Here's Little Devil.
Changes made, you're roving days through.
Neil Sedaka and one that's got to be number one in record time. And we've got to get off now in record time because we've about used all ours up. And I want to say thanks a lot, Pete King. Musical director, composer, motion picture scorer, recent Naris Award nominee for being with us on Rockin' Rhythms.
Thank you. We probably should tell him, mention what NARIS is. I believe it represents the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, which is a comparatively new organization. And I think this is about its third year, if I'm not...
And these are the very pretty gold awards that look like a big phonograph...
Yeah, they call them Grammys.
Grammys, right. Mm-hmm. What I Say by Jack Eubanks is our going-away music. That's a hint from producer Billy Zell and engineer Glenn Nakamoto that I've used up all my time. My name is Jack Brown, and I'd like to give the last word on today's Rockin' Rhythms to our guest star, Mr. Pete King. Pete?
So long, guys. Rockin' Rhythms comes to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.